Welcome back to the Radio Academy podcast. I'm your host, Georgie Jameson, and as it's the morning after the ARIA's nominations, I chat to some of our head judges. In a moment, we'll hear from Ray Paul, founder of the Playmaker Group, and Rebecca Frank, content director for KISS. But firstly, I chatted with the chair of judges, Bob Shennan, and I asked him to tell me about what his experience of judging was like this year.
I've been head judge and a judge many times over the years, and I was reminded that it's quite hard work, but actually, to be honest, I was reminded how much fun it is, both to listen to the full range of output across the sector, whether that be radio or podcasts, whether that be public service or commercial, but also how much fun it is to get together with a good cross-section of judges from across the sector as well. It isn't just about the content, it's about the caliber of the people that you're working with. And I found in my category, the people were hardworking, really insightful, quite inspirational, to be perfectly honest, from right across our industry. So yeah, hard work, enormously fulfilling. The quality of the content, it feels to me, has never been higher. And a brilliant way in which everybody really comes together for a common good. And yeah, inspiring is my headline word for the whole process.
I found when I was a judge, not only did I feel incredibly privileged to be a judge, but it opened my ears up to lots of different content I wouldn't normally listen to. And what you were saying about it being inspiring really struck home with me. I found it very inspiring to broaden my knowledge of what was out there.
I think that's absolutely right. I don't think anybody goes into this process expecting to have a complete all corners of their category. Very difficult to do that. That's why casting the judging panel is so important. One of the things that I find really fascinating, and I've felt it this year, particularly as the head judge, is that you get so many different perspectives on all corners of the category that you're overseeing. And therefore, you hear people championing different content. And I think it's why casting the judging is so critically important, to make sure that there's not a kind of groupthink in the way we all approach the content, and that actually all corners of the sector are properly represented in the way that we assess all of the entries. And I felt that very strongly in my category. There was a broad range of approval for an awful lot of the content. There was a degree of consensus in the end, but there was quite a range of nominees being championed across the whole group.
How hard was it to pick the winners in your category?
Actually, a fair degree of consensus around certainly the gold and silver. I would say there was a fair degree of consensus broadly around who we wanted to nominate. I've been involved in judging before, and sometimes it's been acutely difficult to get to a decision. But this time it didn't feel like that. And to be honest, as head judge, that's a monumental relief. Even whatever your own personal views are, to know that a group is kind of honing in on one or two of the entries as particularly outstanding, it just shows, you know, between us, we've got to be pretty right about it in the end. You know, we had a panel of, I think, a dozen people in the end assessed our category, which was one of the larger ones. When you've got a dozen people and a strong degree of consensus, I don't think you've got groupthink. I think you've just got excellent showing through.
How do you deal, though, if there's a difference of opinion with the panel as the head judge?
Well, I think sometimes you just have to sort of tease out the conversation a little bit. And yeah, there are very different views. I mean, you've got to take into consideration what the overall majority perspective is, notwithstanding the fact that some people have very strong and very articulate views that they want to share. You have to take into consideration the fact that a wider group of people are going to agree or disagree with a particular viewpoint. You have to take that number of people's position into consideration. But also, I think the veracity and strength of the opinions of individuals as well. I don't think it's a simple numbers game. And actually, sometimes I've observed people's opinions being persuaded by the strength and the articulacy of the opinions being offered by their fellow judges. And that's incredibly powerful when people come round to a form of thinking based on the arguments put to them in the judging group panel discussion. I've seen that happen on more than one occasion, and to a certain extent, it happened this time round. And that's brilliant because it's empowering when people can offer such persuasive perspectives that they can carry others with them. In the end, though, I think you've got to give the conversation a bit of longevity so that you sort of reach some conclusions rather than it being a tit for tat sort of ping pong match between two individuals. You've got to sort of try and draw the conversation out. You've also got to be willing, as a head judge, I think, to call it, and you've got to be willing to say, I think we're going to have to agree this, and we now need to move on to the next question, because otherwise you're going to be there for hours and hours.
What does it mean to be nominated, and why should people shout about it?
Industry awards for radio, organised by the Radio Academy, have been around for as long as I've been around in our industry, and that's quite a long time. It's wonderful to have a blue-ribboned industry, audio-focused awards moment during the course of the year. Everybody will be judged against their peers, and nothing quite like winning. The experience of winning one of these awards is quite overpowering and can be career-changing for individuals as well. I think, though, one of the real innovations I really enjoy and approve of is the fact that we broaden the base of people who are nominated, and then in the end, there's a bronze, a silver, and a gold awarded. But I think there's a recognition of the incredible depth of talent and creativity in the sector. And so I think if somebody is actually nominated for one of these awards, it's a real badge of honour and something they should be incredibly proud of. And I think their organisations are always incredibly proud of them getting as well.
A big thank you to Bob Shannon. Next, I spoke with head judges Ray Paul and Rebecca Frank. And I started by asking Rebecca about her experience of being a head judge.
This is my first time being head judge. I feel like an imposter, as usual, in these positions, because although I have a very senior job at Bauer, it feels like a great responsibility looking after the ARIAs, because people really care about them, actually, and put a lot of work into them and a lot of passion. And I think I'm always humbled to be asked to be a judge. And to be a head judge, I feel a bit, like the sort of the naughty school kid who's been asked to be head girl. But I do feel I'm incredibly honoured, because it's really hard, because you know, having put in loads of entries yourself, how much blood, sweat and tears goes into it, not just time wise, but people's emotion. And especially because the round that I was heading up had two rounds, so it was very, very sort of involved, and it was quite a deep and meaningful kind of category. I felt doubly sort of humbled, I think, but also it was just my first time being a head judge, and so it was pretty exciting but also quite weighty.
What about you, Ray? You've been a head judge before, haven't you?
This is my second time being a head judge, and I tried to kind of take lessons from the first time I did it, because like Bex, the first time I did it, I felt I'm definitely not worthy of doing this, and I was used to being the naughty judge who turned around and waited till the last minute and did all of that stuff. So this time I can be like a grown up and an adult, and I learned a lot from doing it the first time round. And I think the key to it is to ensure that you have a good team around you and just information flow. And on both occasions, I've been very fortunate to have very senior and very experienced people, and some people who had been head judge previously. So they kind of knew what was, they went easy on me. They knew what was involved in the meeting.
What did you learn then from the first time that you've put into practice this time?
Definitely information flow. Definitely just making sure that all of the judges knew what the deadline dates were. I think the key thing I learned was to make sure that we got into people's diaries early, because everybody who is judging, have got very, very busy day-to-day lives, and just trying to get that little window of opportunity to have the discussion and being available and making newcomers feel welcome and part of it. There's always somebody who's new and it's the first time they're judging and not quite sure what to do, but just being available as much as possible.
Let's talk about the standard this year of entries. Rebecca, what was the standard like this year? And especially as you had to do a category where there were two rounds as well. So you must have had a lot of entries.
Yeah, loads. And I think there's that sort of danger when there is a volume in your category of leaving it all to sort of one massive session or two massive sessions, and actually finding it quite difficult to discern the difference between one thing and the next, which is difficult anyway, because there's subjectivity. We're all trying to be as objective as possible. But I do think as well, because now we are receiving and have done done for quite a while now in the ARIA's entries from not just radio, but from non-traditional sort of places or non-traditional big media owner organisations. That's the exciting bit. That's a really tasty bit that's shaken everything up and made it all so much more interesting. But it does mean that that kind of piece around the pooling, making sure that there's kind of BBC, non-BBC, AO, you know, AOB sort of entries in every sort of single shortlist is so important, because all the different sort of resources and the different experiences that all these organisations have got in making whatever type of content it is. I think the standard is incredibly high, but I would say it's very sort of varied in a really beautiful way. You know, something that the BBC can make is going to be very, very different to sort of independent organisation that's perhaps a kind of local broadcast or local podcast network. These are all completely different arenas that we're playing in. So yes, the standard is incredibly high, but I think it's not all on exactly the same scale, because people are trying to achieve completely different things with their content because they come from such different places. I'd never go back to everything being sort of monolithic and it all being about the sort of the same criteria and trying to line everything up against each other, because that's not how the world works now, thank God. But yeah, just great and just really stimulating, I think. And yeah, just challenging in a really good way, just challenging your own sort of prejudices, your own sort of preconceived stuff that we can't help but bring to any sort of process. No one can help that.
And Ray, what about you with your category?
I found the whole thing really sort of motivating and very inspiring, just in terms of hearing the width of entries that we had in my category, because it was a category that I had a genuine interest in as a consumer as well. It was really interesting to see how other people on the panel viewed the entries compared to how you view it. So I always feel like whenever I'm a judge on the ARIA's, it's just interesting to hear people's takes on how they go about creating and crafting their piece of work. I think the width of just BBC and commercial and non-traditional media, just the takes were so different, just how people approach stuff and depth of passion on some of them as well, that just kind of shine through. I think there have been slight tweaks in terms of how the judging criteria has come about over the last few years, and I think it's been like very positive, because I think that a lot of the changes have been for the better in terms of judging.
As head judges, how do you deal with differences of opinions on your panels?
I like to take it back to how you work in a radio newsroom or in a radio production team, where a lot of it is about influencing and persuading and being able to put your argument across, and how some of my judging team saw things weren't exactly how I saw them, but the way that they explained it to me made you look at it from a completely different perspective. And I like that. I actually like the fact that you could take someone else's feelings on board and you can see how that piece of audio made them feel and why they felt included and why it rated so highly, when you might sit there and go, yeah, it was okay, but they could actually bring you over to that side. And fortunately, both times that I've been head judge, there haven't been massive disparities. There have been slight changes, and people are normally quite good at influencing and persuading and actually coming to a general consensus.
In general, when there has been sort of any sort of disagreements or really strong differences of opinion, it's exactly what Ray said. It's usually about giving people a space to articulate why they think something. And sometimes, remember, like, these are people that all sort of work in the media, but not everybody is used to being in a massive room, real or virtual, the whole lot of people they don't know, and having quite a kind of concentrated hour and a half long discussion about quite deep things with people that you don't know. Like, no matter how confident or senior or whatever you are, when you're in the newsroom or in your or with your team or whatever, there's a certain like known dynamic. You're going to get back to your work afterwards. It's quite a kind of pressured, insane environment. But I would say at the same time, there's an advantage actually to a lot of people not knowing each other, which is up to us as head judges to create the vibe where it's like, right, everybody needs to say like how they feel. And if you're not somebody who is coming forward, I might ask you to say something, but please know that that's a really normal thing I'm asking you to do. I'm not trying to be punitive by saying, hey, you haven't said anything. So I think there's a real like leadership role that we've got to take in those scenarios to make sure that all voices are heard, especially from people that maybe haven't judged before, especially if you've got a slightly more junior person who's then in a situation where a really senior person said something in a meeting. Like, all of those really normal things are really amplified when it's prizes are at stake, egos are at stake. I think it's up to us to really like choreograph that dynamic and have the emotional intelligence, I suppose, to like clock if there's someone that hasn't said anything, or if there is a dominant voice, to make sure that they're not the only one heard, especially if they're senior.
I do like the fact that it's a leveler though.
Yes, Absolutely.
And get a junior person, someone who's at the network, and then that vote means exactly the same thing.
Totally agree. And like, often those people might not have ever had a chance to articulate something like that to somebody at that level. It's such a good point. I think it's such a cool aspect of it.
This is it. When you're on that panel, everyone's opinion is valid and everyone is equal, really, to a certain extent, aren't they? You know, you've all listened to the same audio. You're all judging it from your own perspective and everyone should have a say. I was a judge a couple of years ago and it was category where we had to go for a second round because we had lots of entries. It got pretty passionate when we had the final panel and we spent an hour just deciding who should get the last nomination. They weren't going to get gold, silver or bronze, just to get into that nomination. I mean, there can only be one gold winner, one silver, one bronze. But let's talk about the prestige of actually being an ARIA's nominee, getting that nomination. It's a big deal. Rebecca, how can those people who have been nominated last night, how can they capitalise on that accolade?
You know, look, obviously people should talk from the rooftops about the nominations on their social media platforms or LinkedIn or whatever. It's not something that we talk about on air, I would say, no. Kind of here or in my previous job. I think because it is really like a very industry sort of facing thing is my view on it in a really positive way. I think that's a really important thing to make sure we do have awards are like that and aren't popularity contests that are about kind of really good discussion and then they have integrity to them. And I think that's what does make them prestigious. But yeah, I think it's just about people genuinely enjoying the nomination, knowing that you're going to get invited to actually go for that really good night out in May, the same night as Rajar. Nice one.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Well, that's going to be a lively evening, isn't it?
Yeah. It's kind of like all our presentations we've got to do the next day in commercial radio are going to be a little bit hungover, but there we go. But yeah, I think, you know, what should people do to answer your question? I think just like, you know, make sure that they really actually, first of all, make sure their team or the people that have contributed to that entry, no matter how big or small a contribution they've had, are really aware of what this means and to kind of sit with that and enjoy it. What happens after that happens, you know, it's going to happen, right? So it's just, I think just, yeah, making sure that people really communicate well, the person that put that entry in, that they share that love and they share that good vibe. Because in radio, you know, it's an ever on product, or in audio, it's an ever on thing. People work really hard on it. It's just celebrate the moment.
Ray, would you advise people to put it on their CV? You know, ARIA's nominated?
Well, I think in the first instance, it's about sort of recognition of the work that you've done and enjoy it and kind of take strength from the fact that somebody outside of your circle has heard your work and loves it and thinks it's worthy. What I always like to tell people is if you think about the amount of shows of that type or entries of that type that are around, for you to be on a nomination list is a massive deal. But I don't think you kind of shout it from the rooftops. I think it's more about an internal thing. It should give you inner confidence to be able to go, well, maybe I can push it a bit further next year and keep going. So I see it more as a kind of pat on the back rather than a shouting from the rooftops thing.
Let's talk about picking the winners. How hard was it picking the winners in your category?
Our category, I think it was pretty unanimous. And the reasonings for the one that was selected, pretty similar throughout, actually, for all of them. The one that I was part of definitely resonated with all the different types of people who were on the judging panel and for different reasons.
Every category is quite nuanced and different because of the makeup of what goes into each one. Some are traditional radio program based. Some are very much about what's happened off the piece of media as well as the piece of media. You know, if you look at the kind of breadth of categories, and then they all come with like different ups and downs in terms of the journey you're inevitably going to go on with the discussion. Some are kind of really fun and some are really deep. I think Ray alluded to like the change in the evolution of the kind of rubrics and the kind of judging criteria and all of that. I think we need to like keep reviewing that and looking under the stone like every single year, because things are changing so quickly all of the time. We need to do that in a realistic and sort of sustainable way. But I think we've got to keep up that momentum of not being stuck in our ways with the ARIAs when it comes to this stuff, so that judging should always be really hard, right? That means that like that's a really good thing. That friction is really, really good and healthy. But yeah, just to continue to kind of look at how we're doing it constantly every year to make sure we're always reflecting the diversity of everything that's out there.
I think one of the things that always strikes me is no matter what sort of level you work at, people are really always very proud to be a judge.
Yes.
And it's an honor to be able to kind of pass judgment on your peers' work is a really big deal. So for me, just the way people take, how seriously people take it, is sort of testament to.
And also just final thing I would say as well is that I always come away not just being sort of inspired in a sort of blue sky way, but we all know that creativity or problem solving for the thing you're working on always is going to be benefited by putting yourself in the shoes of like other areas. What would I do? What would I do there to make it better? What do I think of that? Having that kind of creative break from your own normal stuff that you're thinking about is just inevitably so good for what you're doing. Even if the thing that you're judging is so different from what you're doing on a day to day, it's just so good to be involved from that point. Like, we never get enough chance to listen to the stuff that we are part of. So to be forced to and have the discipline to have to listen to a bunch of other stuff that you just wouldn't normally sit down and listen to in that kind of way is just really good for you. It's really healthy.
A big thank you to Bob, Ray and Rebecca for joining me. If you've been nominated for an ARIA this year, then congratulations. And remember, tickets are now on sale for the big night on Wednesday the 14th of May at the Odeon Lux Leicester Square, London. Go to our website, radioacademy.org, for more details and to get tickets. Next week, the podcast comes from the Student Radio Association Conference with Adam Skin from Shock Radio as our guest producer. I'll see you next week.